Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord while you have the breath to be able to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Reverend Essie with Mike Romana on December 19th, Wednesday, 2012. God has given us another day, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God gave me another day to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just not going to let a day go by without telling somebody, even if it's in the marketplace or in my apartment building, amen, about Jesus Christ. Pray for those around the nation that are experiencing hardships right now. Pray for those that mourn, that are mourning. There's a lot going on around the world, and we have a lot to pray for. And Lord God, well, just ask that those that you want to hear this word will hear it, and those that judge will not hear it. Those that love you and want to hear what you have to say through me will hear it, and pray for me. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's so much going on in the world, so much, and it's not stopping. Things are happening so fast nowadays, man doesn't have time to judge, and I'm glad he doesn't. God is going to get his way, whether people like it or not. He's going to get his way. And I just saw, I think this morning, in my email on YouTube, that there was a big, there was a huge, I want to say meteorite or something, that came so close. It passed the earth, and NASA caught it on camera, and they didn't even know it was coming. This is what's happening. See, God does what God wants to do. He doesn't have to tell man what he's getting ready to do. He's God. He created all of this. Meteorites are coming and passing us up and landing on the earth even, and they're coming so fast that man can't even keep up with them. That's how good God is. And just when man thought he had all the answers and he knew everything, God does something else. He does something else. God is trying to tell us that these are, if somebody doesn't know that these are the last days, I don't know where they must have had their heads in the sand. So I want to speak a little bit on the difference between timidity. There's some people out there who suffer from timidity so bad that they can't open up their mouths for God. That's not good. And then, you know, God also wants you to have strength. Amen. Especially in these days and times. Because we don't want anybody's blood to be on our hands. So in Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll see that Ezekiel was seeing God. And he describes him so beautifully. I'll start with, it's all good. I'll start with verse 24. I'll start with 25. And this is after he saw the wings and the angels and everything in the firmament. And 25 says, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of a throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And we know who that man is, Jesus, the appearance of Jesus. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. See, when he describes God and in his holy throne, he's describing fire. I saw the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in a cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. See, when you see heavenly beings, when you see God, when God shows himself to you in various ways, there is nothing you can do but respect him. I don't care if you're a believer or if you're an atheist. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is God. God is who he said he is. And when God shows up, every knee hits the ground. Whether you have arthritis or not, every knee hits the ground and your head goes down and you worship him. You bow down to the Creator. And you have godly reverence for him. God is God. I don't care who likes him or who doesn't. And over in chapter 2, this is after he had godly reverence for him, and he bowed down, and he began to hear a voice speaking to him. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto you. Now, after seeing all that, you're weak. After having an experience with God, your body is going to be weak. I know after I do it, and I know a lot of other preachers would do it after preaching, after Bible study, after Sunday school. We are drained. A lot of people are drained. That's why I have the highest respect for those preachers that have big churches, medium to big churches or whatever, even smaller ones, and they stand up there and they preach. They go through all the praying and the preaching and everything that's going on in the church service, and then afterwards they have to pray for all these people in the prayer line. That is a strong fasting and praying preacher, male or female, that is able to do that. And I have the highest regard, the highest respect for people that can do that, because you're drained. Amen. God is that good. Your body cannot stand up to his power. And notice it says, verse 2, Ezekiel 2:2, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. See, the only thing that can strengthen you is God's Spirit. That's the only thing that can strengthen us correctly is God's Spirit. When he said the Spirit entered into him when he spoke unto me. Hearing comes, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. When he heard God's word, when he heard him speak, then he got power to stand, and he stood to his feet, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day, which even means today, December, 19th of 2012, even today, people are still, in fact, transgressing so bad, I would go as far to say we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, or getting there, or there, put it that way. And they're transgressing against me even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. And we know we have some impudent, stiff-hearted people nowadays that think they know everything, and they think they got God figured out, and they really don't. They're children of the devil. You know, you ever see people that are just like Satan? They think they know everything, and they're living hellish lives. You can't live a hellish life and call yourself a child of God. You have to live holy because he is holy. God even tells us, be holy for I am holy. Amen. And stiff-hearted people. You ever see people that just have their own way of doing things once they get that ritual going on? Amen. They get that ritual going on, and they just continue to do the ritual, and God's telling them, change your ways, change it up, change it up, change up the program, change it up, and they still won't change it up. Hard-hearted people, they think they have arrived. Stubbornness. There are some people that are just so stubborn, they're unteachable. Have you ever seen a person that's so stubborn you just can't teach them anything? They may be maybe a little older than you, or maybe they've been in ministry longer than you or something or whatever, regardless of their age, or they just maybe they're a relative or something, and they feel like they don't have to listen to you. Who are you? Who are you to tell them how to live? You know? And there's just people like that, hard-hearted. And verse 5 says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. See, God is telling Ezekiel just what he's getting ready to deal with. They are a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. How many people, cities, towns, states, countries, churches, temples, how many people have had, we don't know how many have had prophets standing amongst them, trying to correct them. With spirit of correction, trying to correct these people in love, trying to get them back on their feet, trying to show them God's way, the way things are supposed to be done, and they refuse the prophet. A prophet is not very well liked because they do what God tells them to do, and God chastises those that he loves. prophets chastise people. Now, they speak in love. They don't speak in hate. But they, sometimes they'll say a little something that'll step on your toes. Might hurt a little bit, but it straightens you up. And you begin to walk better, walk straighter. And I wonder how many people have had prophets amongst them, and the prophet could not. They were just hard-hearted, and they wouldn't listen. Prophet left and are still wallowing in the mud. Many, I'm sure. And thou son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions. God calls them scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. See, God is telling them, telling Ezekiel, there are some people out there who talk horribly. They're bitter. They gossip. They hate, they accuse, just like their father, the devil. They accuse, and they live off of excitement, you know. Daredevils, they always want to hear something or experience something, and it's not of God. They're a rebellious house. And I hate to say it, I'm afraid that we are becoming like that here in America. You know, what else do you think is going to happen whenever you don't allow God in the schools? What do you think is going to happen when college children can't even pray? At graduation, what about high school students are not allowed to pray or to pray to Jesus Christ during commencement? What do they think is going to happen? What did America think was going to happen? Not just America, but all around the world. When you stop God from entering into your business, then you're on your own. And when you're on your own, amen, you're on your own. Amen. You know, there was a cartoon somebody put over on Facebook, and it says, God, why didn't you stop the shooting at Sandy Hook School? And God looked at the child, whoever this was, God looked at him and said, I'm not allowed in. I would have, but I'm not allowed in. And that's a shame. You know, briars and thorns. Amen. God tells us, don't be dismayed at their looks because they're rebellious. And verse 7, Ezekiel 2:7, he says, thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. See, God's telling him right there, speak the word in season or out of season. Speak it anyway. There are going to come times in your life, the listener, you, the one that you know God has called you to speak, whether you have a title or not, God has called each and every one of us to speak and to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that God is telling you to speak it in season or out of season. If somebody gets mad, come in all joy. You can't please everybody. In fact, the word of God cuts like a two-edged sword. There are going to be some people who are going to be very offended. As long as you speak the word the way the word says and you don't deviate from it, you will be in the right and God will defend you. God will defend you, so you don't have to worry about the people. Just speak the truth. When you speak the truth and the things that you're telling people is not coming out of your own heart or coming out of your own mouth, but you're repeating the word. The word is never wrong. When people get upset, they're upset. So as long as you speak that truth, you're fine. Amen. So he's telling him in verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they'll hear it or not, say it anyway. And verse 8 says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not, and he's telling them, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. In other words, he's saying, do not act like them. Do not be like, he doesn't want you to be like them. He's telling him, be yourself. Then I'm telling you, be yourself. You don't have to try to act like other people. In fact, I don't want to be like other people. There was a time years ago, and I'm sure we've all been there in some kind of way, where you look up to somebody and you're like, wow, I wish I was like them. Wow, I wish I could sing like them. I wish I could talk like them. I wish I could speak like them. I wish I looked like them. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish. And what's happening is the more you wish to be like somebody else, you're telling God that you're unappreciative of who and what you are. See, he tells us in verse 8, but son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. See, he goes, open thy mouth and eat what I give you. Eat that I give thee. And he says, and when I looked, when Ezekiel says, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. It's God's hand. See, so those naysayers that said we're not made in God's image are liars. God's hand, you look in the Bible, you'll see his back, you'll see his feet, you know, his face. God made us in his image. So he saw a hand, and then he says, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread before me, and it was written within and without. Excuse me, there was writing all around it, within it and without it. And there was lamentations, he said, and mourning and woe, sadness, lamentation, sadness. And so, chapter 3, Ezekiel says, moreover, he said unto me, in other words, regardless of what was on it, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Now, first of all, before you begin to go out to speak to people, you have to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. And notice God gave him the word first. You cannot go out there and call yourself telling people about the kingdom of God without knowing yourself. You have to be experienced. That's why the Bible says, don't put in a novice, you know. Don't put a novice in office. Everybody has to study. You have to study this word. I have been studying God's word for years, for about 30 years, and longer than that probably. And there's a lot that I don't understand. We have to ask him when we don't understand things. So you just can't go out there on your own. And see, he ate the word. The word was his food. The word was his food. Let me look in Matthew 4:4 here and see what Matthew 4:4 says. It says, "But and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And that was Jesus speaking. You cannot live. You have by bread alone. You have to live. Life is studying the word. Whatever God says is right. So after Ezekiel ate the roll, he said, I opened up my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll. See, fill thy bowels with the word. Fill yourself with the word. Study. Concentrate. Amen. Read. Write. Research. Get into the Greek and the Hebrew. Not necessary, but it helps. Amen. I knew some good preachers out there, old-time preachers that didn't get into the Greek and Hebrew, but they can preach that word. Amen. But still, that was them. They, you know, God has given you the internet, computer, you know, libraries. So I say study as much as you can. And then he said, then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. That word, the word of God is so good while you're studying it and when you're learning new things and the Holy Spirit's showing you things and you know that you have to know these things to be able to go out and tell them to somebody else and you have to go through experiences. It's just sweet when you first get saved. You're like a baby and you're happy and everything's just so sweet and wonderful. But then things change when you begin to see your old friends falling off and people don't want to be bothered anymore because they call you a Jesus freak. And then you get to the point where you can't hold those worldly, fleshly conversations anymore. People are still cussing. They're still drinking. They're cutting up, smoking dope and talking about their girlfriends, their wives, and the women are talking about their boyfriends and their husbands and telling bad jokes. And you're like, wait a minute. Uh-oh. I don't feel like doing that kind of stuff anymore. You change. You literally change. There is a change. The word puts a change in you. And the Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. And it begins to cut off. The word begins to cut that mess, that dross out of your life. And because then it even says, at first it was for sweetness. In verse 4, he says, and he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words. Speak with my words, not your words. not your ideas, but with God's words. Speak the word, for thou art not sent to a strange people. He's telling you, I'm not sending you to strange people. I'm sending you to people, they don't have a hard language that you can't understand. I'm sending you to your own folks. I'm sending you to your own people. Amen. House of Israel. And not to many people of strange speech and of hard language whose words thou can't understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have not hearkened unto you. So God is telling you he's not going to send you to some people that won't understand you. Amen. Even if you go to Africa or something, you go to another country, take an interpreter. Amen. That's why you see people with interpreters. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you. And then listen, these people understand. They speak the same language and won't listen to the word of God. God says they're hard-hearted. It says, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They turn their backs on God. They turned on God and wouldn't listen to him. And God is sending someone to save them. If it was me, I'd crush them up and start all over and make some new ones. But God is love. He's given them another chance. Imagine how many times God could have got rid of us over our sins, over our hard-heartedness, being tired, miserable, bored. How many times could God could have just got rid of us? And in verse 8, he says, and behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and their foreheads, strong against their foreheads. God makes us strong. God, he equips those that he calls. I have seen people out in the field, and they're not ready. They don't know what they're talking about. They have a good game. They might have good clothes and might even have a nice car and pretty white teeth and good hair. A couple of dollars in the bank. And don't know what they're talking about. Ain't studied the Bible. Hasn't had no experiences. I do not like to attempt to teach something that I've never experienced in some kind of way. And if I haven't experienced it and it's an emergency that I should speak on this subject, I will look in my Bible and I will find some scripture that God said. See, they don't need to hear what Essie said. They want to hear what God said, and I'll speak that to them. So you have to know what you're talking about. And God says he promised strength to Ezekiel. He promised strength. He says, behold, I've made their face strong, your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. This is why you don't fit in. You feel a calling on your life. This is why you don't fit in with other people. It's a lonely place to be sometimes, and it hurts. But that's why you don't fit in, because God has made you as strong, actually stronger spiritually, then their sins are strong in the natural, if you understand it. So God's not going to send you out and have the enemy be stronger than you. He's not going to have the enemy be stronger than you. Verse 9, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead, fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they are rebellious house. He said, don't fear them and do not be dismayed. Don't be shaken up. Whatever happens, know that the enemy sent it. Pray on it. Do whatever you have to do. Pray about it. Fast. Ask Jesus to help you and move on. And then he goes, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive it in thy heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them the truth. See, tell them the truth, no matter what you have to do. Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Amen. Now, I have seen people, I've done it myself, go into a church and start speaking somewhere, you know, visiting church or whatever, or your home church or whatever, go into a church and start speaking somewhere, and you look out in that crowd and you can just see the different attitudes out in that crowd. Some people are yawning. Some of them, you can tell they don't want to be bothered. Some of them are doubting. They had so many bad things happen in their life. They're just going to church on Sunday for the sake of showing up. And some of them look absolutely mean. If you have strong discernment on you, you can actually see the different things that these people have gone through. You can see the battered women sitting out there in a congregation. You can see the angry man sitting out there in a congregation. You can see the liar. You can see the dope head. You can see the alcoholic, red eyes and all. People are going through hell nowadays in their lives, and the last thing that they need is for a timid preacher to come there and pretend to know what they're doing and confuse them even more. If you are afraid of the devil, if you're afraid of demons, if you're afraid of spirits, do not get into ministry. Timidity and ministry do not go together. They do not go together. I've seen preachers get up in a pulpit, and they look out. They look up at the clock in the back. They might glance down once in a while they're talking, but they'll look up at that clock. I tell you what, they may have looked at the clock for about 45 minutes or so, but they got the word out, and either somebody got saved or God was softening up somebody's heart. Do that thing. When you're called to do it, do that thing. Amen. And then over, I'm looking over in, I'll go with 12. It says, then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Now, Ezekiel hearing this rushing, okay, he said, I heard a voice of great rushing. The voice said, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Everything in heaven glorifies God. Everything glorifies God. I've heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of great rushing. There's noise, loud noise. They're not whispering, and there's not little teeny baby angels with diapers on flying around in heaven. Loudness. There is beautiful. It's praise and worship to the God that loves us. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. See, the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. And then I'm looking at verse 17. It says, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman, and God is speaking this to us today. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When God tells you to give someone a warning, give them the warning. I don't care how silly it may sound to man, you give it to them anyway. And if you have to say it in different various ways, say it. Give them the warning. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning. You know, when God tells you to tell somebody that if you don't straighten up, you're going to die, you're an unfaithful minister if you don't do it. It says, if you don't give him the warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. God is telling you, if you don't speak to somebody, your neighbors, your friends, your family, I don't care who it is, when you know God's word and God tells you to tell somebody something and you don't tell them that, it says his blood, the end of verse 18, it says his blood will I require at thy hand. Their blood is on your hand because God told you to speak to them and you didn't listen and didn't do it out of pride or timidity. No such thing as no timid preacher. If you're a timid preacher, you're still trying to please man. Amen. Amen. Yet 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turns not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. If you warn somebody that they're living a bad life and they die, they'll die in their sin. They'll die in their iniquity, but your hands are clean. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he'll die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. And I'm ending it by telling you this. When God tells you to do a thing, don't worry about who's going to like it, who's not going to like it, who liked you in high school, who didn't like you in high school, who thinks you're cute and who thinks you're not so cute. I don't care how much money somebody has, and you might not have as much as them. I don't care if your car is putting and you don't have enough money to put gas in the engine. I don't care how you're living. I don't care where you're at. When God gives you a directive, you have to listen to what he tells you to do, or he will hold it against you. For you, think of how selfish it is for you, for one of us, to know the truth, and we don't set the captives free. We just take the truth and keep it all to ourselves because we don't want to give it away. And there are some people like that. There are some leaders out there in the God's body that has learned the truth and won't teach it to the congregation. what do you think happens to that church? You have a preacher that knows a lot. Let's say you have a preacher that knows a lot and a congregation don't know nothing. What do you think? Do you think that's going to be a healthy building? Do you think it's going to be a healthy body of Christians? It's not going to be that healthy. That place is sick. You know? The place is sick. There's times when people get crusty feet. You know, their feet might turn black. You know, they might get a sorenesses or something in their legs. Their body, their belly might hurt or something. Or they might have shingles or something on their back. And their fingers might get a couple of fingers cut off or something, but they still have the hand. The hand's there. The only way we can be full is through Christ Jesus. The only way we can be whole is through the Word of God. That's the only way that our entire bodies can be whole and forgiven and live free. It's through Christ Jesus. So if you know the Word, you've been studying, or if you hear God calling your voice, if you know something's happening that you're not used to happening, that's something that you've heard before, spread the Word. Reverend Essie signing off. Thank you for coming to listen, and I hope that you got a little something out of this. God tells you to spread it. Spread it. Times are short. Get your crown. Amen. We get to heaven, get your crown. God's giving out crowns, and I'm getting mine. God bless you, and good night.